Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
God f***ing damn it!
What? That's good, right?
No. I only bet 10.
But you won.
What did I say? What did I tell you? It's a sure thing.
You talk about this crap like it's science, Tony.
I lost a lot of fucking money.
You didn't lose.
We could have turned your bullshit into a fucking $1 million.
My bullshit?
You ever think I might know what I'm doing?
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
In a prime example of don't try this at home, kids, I went 3-3. Mr. X not only hit his one pick here on this Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night recording, but apparently the subscribers got a scintillating 8-2 opening weekend. Congratulations, Mr. X. You and X2 are completely fucked. Because you're not going to do that again. So
you're right. But that's okay, because I have a note here that I put, gave to my assistant and said, close it down, no new subscribers. The problem is I just remembered I don't actually have an assistant.
Oh, all right. So you're saying people can people still jump on the wagon or no?
If they still had code, I don't know when I'm going to take it down. I don't know if I'll get to it.
All right. Okay. Call me MrX.com, and what's the code?
Zabe, Charlie, Zulu.
Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Well done, my friend. So just so you know this, you remember the old Reagan saying with Gorbachev, trust but verify? Or was that Kennedy with Khrushchev?
Probably both.
I think it was Kennedy with Khrushchev because it was the Cuban Missile Crisis, where it's like, trust but verify. In other words, you can get those fucking missiles out of Cuba, aren't you? Oh, yes, we'll do that, yes. Yeah, you fucking verify it. So you tell me you go 8-2, and I do one text to my group of miscreants, and I go, X really go 8-2 for you guys this weekend? They go, yep. One guy said, I just picked the four I liked the best and went 4-0. And that guy immediately got buried by everybody else on the text thread saying, nice humble brag. should we erect a statue for you? Do you want a medal for that?
No, it's just 1 week. I want to figure out who's on that thread, though, because I'm not sure who it is. You don't have to tell me. That's okay.
It's a lot of the same bourbon guys. Okay, a lot of the Wisco Mafia and assorted ne'er-do-wells. But anyway, I digress. There's got to be one thread where we can talk some shit behind your back, you know?
Sure, that's okay.
So that's the thread right there. You are in luck today because before we get into all the gambling aspects and the games of this week, I got my mailbag with me, and it is full of stuff. So you all and right. I can go through the mailbag, and very little of it, if any, is of you, by the way.
Oh, even
so,
better.
Even better. All right, so this one from Todd Ambrose saying, no bitch to me, in true Furio fashion. Hey, Steez, I've been a P1er since 2014, and rather than wax poetic about how I discovered and immediately became hooked on everything Zabe, I'd rather ask for one predictable favor. See, I'm a dirty, dirty Cowboy fan, and while I am hopelessly optimistic about the boys' playoff future after Monday night's thrashing of the Loat, all I can think about is Furio. Why? Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the over-under was 45.5. So the 45 point total fell half a point shy of the over coming home. If you get the chance, could you please play the iconic bite of Furio taking the lollipop room and saying, I'm sure there was more than one person ruined by Mr. Maher and his count 'em, not one, not two, not three, but four missed extra points. You're the man, Zabe. Keep making it about you, and I'll keep on listening. Sincerely, Todd Ambrose. P.S. Excuse the grammatical errors as I partook in more than a few bourbons while writing this email. All that true, Mr. X?
Yeah, well, Mara got, he got the memo. We needed every one of those misses.
Because you had the under.
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay, well, he had the under. So he had the over, so guess what? Yeah. Nobody misses the extra point, right?
Vikings. Nobody misses the extra point. So they had to do one little kick, and now I'm ruined.
No bitch to me. Bet with your head. No over it.
You know, a sure sign that I'm losing my fastball. This is the first time I've played that bite in the wake of that game. I didn't play it Tuesday morning, didn't play it Wednesday morning on my show, didn't play it on the podcast till now. What the fuck is wrong with me, Mr. X? How do I not see that coming? Anyway, I digress. This one from my friend Ron Turner, certified college football referee, says, I just listened to you and Hatch yesterday, and that was the spot that you talked about underneath the uprights. In most of my MEAC games, we always looked at each other to make sure we both gave the same signal, no matter what it was. Whoever has the ball over their upright is the one yelling yes or no. I said, I love it, Ron. Thanks for that mechanic. Hatch was talking about how when the field goal refs are like confused, you know, and they're trying to figure out if a ball went in or not. Because people talking about the one Brett Maher extra point that ticked off the upright. Why wasn't that considered in? Then there was this. Somebody said, how about crossbar on the top as well as a crossbar on the bottom? Double, triple, quadruple doinks. I say more crossbar. Stuart Verdery with that email. Thoughts?
What the hell for?
I don't know. Just so that you know if it goes in or not, I suppose.
A crossbar on the top, it's just going to go over it.
Well, that's the point, is you have to then kick it through. You can't kick it too high. Can't kick it too low.
Okay. All right.
All right. This one regarding, I had a couple regarding guys who played to the point of embarrassment, because we were talking about Brady and whether he was going to get to that point. 66 passes, Mr. X. And highest of his career. This I said, so is this like Namath, or is this like Willie Mays stumbling around the outfield? That was with the Mets, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I think when he was a Met. Here's a couple more. Al Mazzica. How about Joe Namath as a Ram?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
How about Franco Harris as a Seahawk, says David Soboslay. The Chuck Knoll famous quote was, Franco who? He also said, you need to know when it's time to get on with your life's work. Thank you, David, a loyal one percenter. I forgot about the Franco as a Seahawk thing.
How about do you remember where Art Monk finished?
He was a Jet.
Yes, he was.
And was he an Eagle briefly?
Oof, I only remember the Jet off the top of my head.
Was Ricky Clark Gary Clark a Brown? I'd have to look that up. I thought Gary Clark played for one other team besides the Redskins. He was absolutely.
The bottom line is they always say, I'm not done. And they say, well, you are here. And then somebody gives you a try and you realize the first team was right.
Right. This one regarding I made a mistake on the emergency kicker. I said, if kicking was so easy, because people were bitching about Maher, like, I don't know why you can't get a guy that never misses those. It's like, well, kicking is hard. It's an athletic act. And I said, if it wasn't that hard, you'd have any position player do it. So we started talking about guys that are position players who could kick. And the name of Justin Reed came up. And the first image I Googled was him as a Texan. He has since gone to the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was their emergency kicker this year when their stud starting kicker got hurt, Harrison Butker, on a kickoff. He twisted his ankle. Was out for 4 weeks. This guy, Reed, is so good, he kicked it out of the end zone on kickoffs, and he actually hit all four PATs, Butker did, but Reed came in, went 1-for-2 on PATs, did all the kickoffs, and was really good.
Well, how about this? It's funny you say that, because I do think they overdo it, but hey, I'm a special teams coach. I make a lot of money. It's my job to overthink the heck out of a kickoff. But any athlete should be able to kick off. Maybe not kick, through the uprights. I always said, give me an 11th guy that can tackle, that somebody can kick the ball. Do you remember there was a running back named MacArthur Lane?
Don't remember.
He was on the Cardinals. He was a good running back. He used to kick off.
Wow. Okay.
And it's like, why do I need some guy who's hopefully bumping a guy out of bounds on the sideline? Right. When I have an 11th guy. Now, granted, unless you're playing Buffalo, everybody's covering kicks well now.
Right.
But sure, why can't you kick in the end zone and have 11 tacklers?
All right. Then there's this from the same email from Dave Beru. My man, he says, regarding Brady, look, the running game was terrible this year. The offensive line was subpar, even though his starting center came back 5 months after tearing multiple ligaments in his knee on the second day of training camp. That was pretty impressive. But the running game was terrible, and the O-line was subpar, and as your boy Hatch or Ronis mentioned, he was missing not having a great tight end. The advanced stat metrics still like Brady. From footballoutsiders.com, he is 8th in DVOA, which is an efficiency stat that takes into account down and distance, quality of opponent, and he's currently 18th in QBR, which just measures traditional stats. Below average, but not terrible. It's still above Kyler Murray, Kenny Pickens, Kirk Cousins, and even Aaron Rodgers this year. Just saying regarding Brady.
Brady might as well be politics, because you're not going to be convinced the other side is right. You're just not.
Yeah. Dave also says, you may also remember I sent you an email a while back cataloging all the times Brady has been considered finished, starting in 2014. He certainly looked done in his last year with the Patriots, which ended with a 2019 playoff loss to the Titans where he threw for no touchdowns and a pick, plus a pick six to end the game. And a mere 209 yards on 37 squeezes. That year, his quarterback rating and QBR were about the same as they were this year, FYI, on Brady. Where do you think he'll be next year?
I can't predict him. I have a hard time finding a good spot for him, because if you need a quarterback, you can't take a guy for just that's that old and that near the end.
For one year?
If you truly are a we're one player away kind of team, is he really got enough left to justify that? I don't know. The only place I can really see, is Tennessee.
Okay.
But I can see him going back with Vrabel. I don't know.
So apparently today the report came out that the Jets are circling hiring Nathaniel Hackett as a coordinator. And somebody tweeted, this is great, Andy Herman of Packaday Podcast said, so in other words, another team is going to hire Hackett and get a shitty Wilson as quarterback.
Does Hackett bring his game manager with him?
Oh, I know. No, he said another team is going to hire Hackett in hopes of landing Rodgers, only to have to settle for a shitty Wilson instead at quarterback. From Russell Wilson to Zach Wilson. Pretty funny. This one from Mario Zangla. He says, Zabe, listening to the Smoot podcast and the Kirk debate about his last throw that went short of the sticks, look at the replay of the play. You can see that there is an escape hatch if he leaves the pocket to the right. The debate is not just binary, such as throw it short or take a sack. Quarterbacks at his pay rate extend plays. You can't just make that throw, but if you do make it, you have to own it and say you were wrong to do it. Kirk, meanwhile, just equivocates. And for a dude who loves Jesus as much as he does, why doesn't he sacrifice about $10 to $15 million in salary so that his team can buy a couple of guards or defensive backs? It's not impossible to win with Kirk. It's just impossible to win with Kirk at his current salary. Keep up the great work, Mario.
I thought Kirk had a great game, didn't you? I thought he was good.
Yeah. Yeah, good. The defense was never going to stop anybody of note. Daniel Jones went crazy. And by the time, the last play there, what's his name, for the Giants, their D tackle, their nose tackle was just running roughshod over everybody. Nobody could stop him. Kirk is not fast enough to be able to run away from guys out of the pocket. Joe Buchanan says, regarding Brock Purdy and his last two games, Hatcher said he hadn't played too well. Arizona, Purdy, QB rating of 141.2, highest of his career. Against Seattle in the playoffs, QB rating of 131.5, third highest of his career. How well did Purdy play, do you think?
He's certainly in a great spot. He doesn't have to. He played as good as you. Oh, actually, he was terrible the first half.
First half terrible.
Left and right.
Yeah.
But he's on a team where he doesn't have to be great.
Yeah. Then there's this from John and Indy. I talked about the 3-point contest and the state of the art of 3-point shooting, just like the state of the art is in everything has been improving. And he said, Zabe, you talked about Bird and then Hodges. In the 3-point contest, that would be, why am I having brain lock right now? The guy who finished up, who picked up the 3-point championships. He won 3 in a row.
Oh, was it Joe Harris? No.
No. In the 80s, Hodges.
Hodges. Craig Hodges.
Craig, thank you.
Both.
Yes. You mentioned Bird in his classic line, which one of y'all is playing for second? And he won it 3 years in a row, then his back went out. After Hodges won it for the third year in a row, he said he's the best 3-point shooter ever, and if Bird wants to challenge him, he knows where to find him. When that got back to Bird, he said, yeah, I know where to find him, right at the end of the bench. I still smile at that one. All right, this one, Josh Curlin. Zabe, you're missing a huge opportunity. You need a regular show and or regular podcast with Fred Smoot. I love all your cast of characters, but you and Smoot, radio gold, Jerry, radio gold. And then one more, this from John Feely regarding bowling's last stand. Steve, a number of years ago on another Milwaukee radio station and show, you were singing the praises of a Christmas tree stand that you had bought that was so indestructible, it was branded as Bowling's Last Stand. The family name is Bowling, like the recreational activity bowling, and the Christmas tree stand is made out of solid iron with welded legs and absolute, super hardware on it, so it would last forever. Well, let me tell you, I bought one of their stands, And every year I put it up, I think to myself, a tiger cub could climb the tree and it wouldn't matter outside of the fact of, well, you now have a tiger in your house. Thanks again for the great recommendation, John Feely in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It is a great stand. Like, it wasn't cheap. It was like $110. But the whole point was, you will never buy another one because this thing is a fucking tank. All right. And there's the mailbag, Mr. X. Let's talk some gambling, shall we?
All right.
Don't sound so excited. Jesus, am I boring you? Did that bore you? You're not having fun?
I'm working hard at not talking when you're talking.
Well, don't let one asshole emailer get in your head.
No. 2 weeks ago, I got an email that said, "Gee, you guys just tend to talk at the same time." And if you can, and so last week I did a lot of pausing to make sure I didn't do it. And yeah. First thing you get is a note that says I'm half asleep, so I can't seem to get the right balance.
Okay,
but we'll get there.
All right, let's start with the report of the guy who bet a live bet of $1.4 million to win $11,000. Wow. On the Chargers when they were up 27-0. The bet was released by, I think, FanDuel or DraftKings. I forget which outfit. They didn't associate the bettor's name with it. Some are questioning whether it could even be real because getting that large of a bet in a live bet situation is not common nor easy. Others said, is it really smart business to release that even if you don't attach it to anyone's name? And I tend to agree with that theory because there's one person in the world that knows who was that fucking stupid, the guy who lost $1.4 million. Why rub his nose in it, Mr. X?
Wow, there's a lot of angles on this one. First of all, you know, when you all the places that are legal to gamble in the United States are regulated. You know, the casinos always talk about the rules and, hey, it's regulated. I kind of wonder, I'm not as up on the new guys, but they have the same regulations. I kind of question if they can lie and say there's a bet that's not true. I guess it has to be true. Why would you put it out there? To show the rest of the worst bettors in the world that there's guys worse than them? Maybe, you know, I don't know. Why? And why are you taking that bet? I mean, I don't understand how a
they figured it was a good bet. They figured, look, you never know. It's fucking Brandon Staley. This guy chokes up leads all the time.
Up to the window. Do you got house credit? How are you freaking wiring $1 million? I don't know.
That was something someone else said. They're like, the wire transfer fees alone would have been like $60,000.
Yeah, to make a lot. Zaym, I got to digress for a real quick story that's dead on to this. When I first started shooting craps up in Bangor, Maine. Yeah, there's a casino in Bangor, Maine.
And of course, Mr. X found it.
Yeah, and they only have one table, and sometimes half of it's closed. It's very small time. First couple of trips up there, I kind of wondered why I wasn't getting any help from the hosts. A little room here, a little credit there, nothing. And one night I talked to the pit boss late, and he kind of said, yeah, welcome to Maine. You know, things are different up here. and he talked about, we're chatting about what is it, you know, what does it take, levels of play, things. And he told me point blank, unlike casinos in other states, they track your losses. You know, most casinos track how much do you play. They know the wins and losses are going to come and go. They track, they want to know what's your volume. He said, here, we track your losses. And the bottom line is they're not after players.
They're after losers.
They're after little old ladies with oxygen tanks pumping money into the slot machines every Friday. And so the point is when you lose, they give those people rooms and whatnot. And they go by losses. And I've never seen that before. Now, the point of this is these guys now, you keep reading the stories about guys making $100 wagers and then getting shut off because of the whole, quote, professionalism and we want recreational gamblers. My question is this. If they can track guys spending a couple $100 and say, yeah, they're on the wrong sides and they close their accounts, you always see those.
Right.
Do you want to be the guy who they take the bets from? Because clearly if their logarithms can tell you who's a smart gambler, you can flip the page and tell me who's the dumbass gambler, right? So just like sure. the old ladies playing slots, getting free rooms, if they're taking $1 million bet from you, they want your action probably. So maybe the flip side is if they're cutting off smart people with these the DraftKings FanDuels, are you proud of being a big customer?
Yeah.
Or are you like those ladies? Because if they know who the sharps are and they won't let you play, you know, it's like look around the table. Do you see the sucker? If you don't, it's you.
Word is getting around that these new entities in the market are cutting people off real quick.
Right. So
real
like,
quick.
Hey, but they didn't cut me off. They took $1 million. Yeah, because you're a dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell people why that's a dumb bet to make.
Well, if you got $1 million in your pocket, do you need 11,000? That's all I got to say.
And, right. You know, it's the need thing. You always position it in terms of why do you need that extra 11 grand exactly?
I mean, most gamblers won't lay 300 or 400. You see somebody betting a money line favorite at -500, and our line is always, you know, if you're laying five to win one, I always say, I don't need the one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the one bad enough to lay five.
Yeah. But I think they took the bet probably because they saw the Vikings come back from the inconceivable lead 33-0, right, against the Colts. And they know that the Chargers have a history of charging, and everything and anything that could possibly go wrong went wrong for the Jaguars in the first half.
Well, think of it this way, okay? Flip the circle. You say, why would a house take that?
Flip the circle?
Flip it over, whatever you call it.
Flip the card, flip the script, go to the other side of the table. Okay, go ahead.
All of them. Would you take an 11,000 bet to win $1 million? A lot more likely than vice versa. So the house isn't sitting there going, oh, I think the Jags are going to come back. It's more like, okay, I'll take that shot at whatever thousands it is to one, because sooner or later you get the one. Yeah. I mean, what were they going to? They weren't going to lose $1 million. They're going to lose 11 grand.
Right, exactly. Was not going to affect their life one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. A guy betting $1 million to win $1 million, that house isn't taken. But in that case, the house was only going to lose $11,000. They'll take that.
Yeah. So a lot of times these odds are meant just to discourage people from even trying it. It's almost like, sure. Look, we don't want the action. You don't want the action. So here's the number. We're going to put it way up here. Now go find something reasonable to bet on.
Exactly.
All right. Summary of last week. Favorites went 4-2, but they went 2-4 against the spread. Home teams went 4-2 straight up, but they also, home teams went 2-4 against the spread. The overs hit 5 of the 6 games. Would have been 6 if not for Maher. I went 3-3, including missing Tampa Bay and missing the 2 games where I said, I'm not betting on that shitty quarterback in the postseason. It would have been a good thing to put your money on it because they actually acquitted themselves pretty well. You went 1-0 on the podcast here. Your pick was the Jaguars, and as you like to say, had it all along.
Oh, yeah. It was a little ugly around 9 o'clock on Saturday when the text start, you know, people start coming in. I signed up for this, and he's got the Jaguars.
Yeah. But the website, you know, with you and Next 2 went 8-2. And you say still people can jump on board, so go to callmemrx.com, promo code Zabe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I say that Charger game, I still haven't rewatched it. I'm going to rewatch it because when people say to me, what happened? I really don't know. What did they do? What happened
here,
to the hole.
I'll tell you, they threw it 25 times. They ran it 8 once they were in the second half. Inexcusable.
Yeah.
Run, punt. Run, punt. Before you know it, this whole thing will be over. The fuck are you doing?
Yeah, and then when you do that, everybody says, why'd you crawl in a shell? I mean, I don't know.
To win the game.
But it was a perfect storm. The other thing is, I mean, the Jags handed them the points early. It's not like the Chargers were playing well, so to speak. I mean, their defense was, but they handed them all those points. What was it, the first time, I think, in even counting regular season, that a team has ever won the game losing the turnover battle by five?
Yeah, it's never happened before. Yeah.
But usually when you have that comeback, it's because they're turning the ball over. They just said, hey, let's not turn it over. We got this. No, you don't.
Yeah. Well, it's a little thing here. It's a little thing there that always adds up. And in this case, it was, oh, whoops, you missed a field goal that hooked at the last second. All right, that's probably not going to matter. Oops, yeah. Joey Bosa had another tantrum. Cost his team a yard. That's it. From the two-yard line to the one-yard line, that was all it took for Peterson to go, fuck it, let's go for two, and he did. Yep. And, Trevor Lawrence being 6'6 with long arms, freelanced it, put the ball in. And then next thing you know, they're losing at the gun. The great thing was the Jaguars led for exactly 0 minutes and 0 seconds of that whole game. They never had the lead with anything but zeros on the clock. Hilarious.
Classic game. It's a good thing we had Al Michaels on it.
Okay. Your thoughts on that, because I feel like I've been vindicated about what I've been saying about Michaels for a long time.
Well, I don't know. I think they started doing the 27-0 ho-hum. What other things can we talk about to keep people interested? Because it's not this game.
Okay.
And they just never changed gear.
They never got into it.
They never realized, like, you know what? We got to get back into this game. Do you see what's going on here? I mean, by the way, that last kick, they kind of sat on it and went for the field goal. And that thing faded, and I thought it was going to miss.
I thought so,
there
too.
There was absolutely nothing other than there is a flag. Oh, wait. It's on the defense.
Yeah, it's terrible. What does a guy like X2, who didn't grow up on Al Michaels like we did, think of Al Michaels?
You know, only thing I can say is he always says to me, your generation gives a shit who's announcing and what they're saying. We don't. He always says, I don't even know the names. I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Bosa after the game also ripped the referees for his two personal fouls, saying, oh, but they're there saying, you know, fuck that guy. Ha, ha, ha. We got him. 15-yard penalty. What a loser. You're the loser, dum-dum.
Yeah. By the way, why in the world did he get two unsportsmanlikes and not get ejected? I've never seen an explanation of
because that. Apparently there's different categories.
Sounds like double secret probation.
Yes, it does, which is crazy. One was abuse of the officials because he said something, and head referee Sean Smith walked back and said, what? And then threw the flag.
Yeah.
The other one was just him smashing his helmet 2 feet in bounds. Had he stepped another 3 feet onto the white chalk, he could have smashed that helmet into 1,000 pieces. Would not have been a penalty.
Well, you know, they always say on the first one, they always say that's his first unsportsmanlike conduct.
Right.
To me, that implies you only got one more. I don't know if there's categories, but I think the category is called it's a playoff game and it's their best player and we're going to make something up. I don't think there's two categories. Yeah. That's the first time I've ever heard that one.
No, okay, go ahead.
I'm so tired of the excuse of the coaches and the players. Well, you got to understand it's really tense and emotions fly. What? So what?
That's called sports. That's called playoff football. I mean, everyone has to control their emotions. That's why you're a professional.
Oh, it was the only borderline call of the day.
Right. Oh, yeah. The only borderline call. Oh, yeah. It was the only guy frustrated for something that didn't go his way in the game. Oh, right. You're the only one who really cares. Nobody else does. Here's Joey Bosa.
I need to be more accountable for my actions, obviously, but it's a heated game. I think there just needs to be more accountability on. I mean, if I say something to them, I get a $40,000 fine. But if they blow a call that ruins an entire team's season, they're probably back in the locker room after the game, like, I got that. Oh, yeah, got him. 15 yards, what a loser. I guarantee it. That's what they're fucking talking like.
What a petulant baby he is. Yeah, I want more accountability. You know, when they make a mistake, what? They make a mistake. Just like when you make a mistake, miss a tackle, jump off sides, take a bad lane. It's a fucking mistake. You're human. They're human. This notion of there's no accountability for the referees is the most tired and stupid thing ever, because these players have probably very little idea the amount of post-game and midweek bullshit and paperwork and review and film study that they are run through by the league supervisors. It's unbelievable. There's tons of accountability.
That was the thing in youth sports I used to have to face all the time. Parents would always, every misbehaved child had a parent that said, "Coach, you don't understand. He really is intense and wants to win." And I'm like, and
right.
It's got nothing to do with the behavior. Every kid out there wants to win. Every player on the Chargers wanted to win. You know, by the way, that game, I don't know if anybody talked about this. I have not, you know, when people talk about penalties, they like to think they're smart. I'm sorry. Nobody's smarter than someone who has watched every single game and play of the year. And I can't tell you what should and shouldn't be a penalty, but I can tell you what usually is and is not called.
Absolutely. Yes.
I've watched it. And you can sit there and next to me and say, "That's not PI." And I'll say, 4 out of 5 times they call that. I mean, it's what happens. I've watched it. And you know what? That game, the Chargers secondary was making more contact, illegal contact, holding, whichever you want to call it, than any game I've seen since the famous Belichick game against Peyton Manning, when they changed the rule because they were like, "We don't want our receivers being manhandled like this." They got away with it all day long. And what little analysis there was from Michaels and Donji would go, "Yeah, kind of looks like holding to me." You know, they were barely saying it. And clearly the Chargers game plan was, and the one dude got, what, 2 or 3 picks. And in almost every one, you know, the flag could be thrown. So I thought it was real ironic at the very end to blow the game and say the refs missed the call, when that crew let them at it, let them play all day long. Did they miss a holding call on Bosa? Sure. Did they miss 15 holding calls in the secondary? Yeah. Relax. You know, everybody can't go off on them.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Breath.
Quick thoughts on Bills Chargers. Boy Wonder, who's had problems all year long getting plays in, fails to get a play in with not just a 35-second clock, but also a 24-second pump up of the clock, and Mike McDaniel, not his best moment.
I'm sorry, you mean the Dolphins?
Okay, yes, the Dolphins.
You said Bills Chargers. Well, his excuse was he said the guys in his ear told him it was a first down and he was preparing for it. Halfway through, he realized, no, it's fourth down. It's okay. Maybe if you hadn't wasted the other two timeouts, it wouldn't have been 3 timeouts. They wasted them all day. It was horrible.
How about don't care? Like, yes. Literally, it doesn't matter. And if you had a coach who blurted into the comms, it's first down. You find out who it is, and you fire his ass.
Yeah. No, it was inexcusable. And for reasons I never understand, they reset the play clock halfway through, so they gave him an extra amount of time. I think they said they got 54 seconds and couldn't get it off.
I can say I've never seen that before. Have you?
I don't think so.
Not a 35 plus a reset. I've never, especially on a 4th and 1 with the game in the balance, never seen that before. What'd you think of the Baltimore-Cincinnati fumble in the jungle, they're calling it? Not only the play call itself on 3rd and goal, but also Tyler Huntley's decision to try to become Marcus Allen, who was great at that thing, jumping over everybody, but he ain't Marcus Allen. And then the no call on what looked like a clear push in the back on the return.
Well, I'll be honest, I needed that touchdown. So why do I say that? Not to gloat, but because when someone tells you they had a huge position on the game and you need that, you're wearing different colored glasses. I mean, you don't see it just right. But the whole time he's running downfield, I see it coming. I'm going, don't push him. Don't push him. Don't push him. Oh, crap, he pushed him. Oh, good, they didn't call it.
And then immediately puts his hands up.
Oh, that's the kiss of death. As soon as he threw the hands up, I'm like, that's it.
You're like, they're so going to call it because he's got a guilty mind.
Yeah, you can't say, ref, why'd you do that? You're like, he threw his hands up. Okay, and next case. If he does that, he did it.
That said, Dean Blandino, former head of officiating, said he liked the no call. Here's his video.
Cincinnati, what a swing of emotions. Game is tied. Baltimore's going in to score the go-ahead touchdown. Instead, we get a 98-yard fumble return by local boy Sam Hubbard. Huntley fumbles at the goal line. Hubbard picks it up, goes 98 yards, and Cincinnati takes the lead. But a couple things on this play. Mark Andrews, what an incredible job. Talk about never giving up. And Mark Andrews runs down Hubbard and is in position to potentially make a touchdown-saving tackle. He gets contacted by Bailey. A little bit of a push in the back. It was really close. A lot of people thought it should have been a flag. Look, this is a tough one. I'm not going to sit here and say it was or it wasn't. It's one of those in between. And when it's in between, you don't want the official to make that call. You want it to be clear. There was some contact on the side. There was some contact on the back. Was it a push? Did Andrews just run out of gas because of the incredible effort that he put forth on that play? It was really close.
He was pushed down. I'm pretty sure in saying that. Yeah,
that's a terrible explanation. He might as well have just said, yeah. But why Huntley? I didn't have a problem with a quarterback sneak. I'm not a Harbaugh guy, but people saying that's a bad call.
That's
a good call.
Do you want him reaching, though? Because Belichick coaches his guys to never reach for the pylon, never reach for the goal line, because you're putting the ball at risk.
Right. Well, we had that argument, and my answer is he called the sneak. He didn't say stick the ball out. I guarantee that's not part of the play call.
Right.
The only time you stick the ball out like that is 4th down or the 2-pointer like Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
If it's your last go, you take that chance. If he had a full yard and a smidge more, yeah, I mean, he wasn't anywhere close to that goal line. It made no sense. But it did show you the only way to defense that down on the goal line, because when they're closer, is just have quick hands and punch it out.
But, all right.
No. Yeah.
One more post-mortem before we get to this week's games. Todd Bowles, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
The Maher misses. Thoughts on the Monday night game?
Yeah, I'm going to have to rethink. I've been a Bowles guy since, way back. I've always thought he was a great defensive coordinator, would make a great head coach. That team is not that untalented to finish the year 8-10. I mean, if they were in any other division, you'd be talking about why they were horrible. Well, they're still talking about why they're horrible. It's not all about – that is a poorly coached team. I feel like they made no adjustments during the season.
More importantly, they basically just showed up dead flat. There was no emotion, and that reflects the coach, because he is Todd Bowles is death warmed over in terms of personality. I think he's the classic coordinator. He'll go back to being a coordinator. He'll be great for the rest of his career. He's now had two shots to be a head coach. It has not worked out.
Yeah, it's one thing when you get a shot, you know, and take over, you know, the 2-14 team. But you take over a team that was, you know, a play away from advancing last year in the Ram game.
Yeah.
You know, that team was, you know, you took over a team that's supposed to be good. You can't fall that fast. You got Richie Pettibone looking like, I don't know. Yeah, Maurer was, I mean, as I was getting texts all night like, wow, Maurer's on the X payroll. I just responded to everyone. He got the memo.
He got the memo.
That's 0-4. You can't do that.
Well, he did, and it happens. We'll see. Now every kick this weekend against the Niners in that final game of the weekend, Cowboy fans will be watching it through their fingers. Like, oh, shit, here we go.
I can't remember a kicker getting yips like that. Can you?
The great Packers kicker Mason Crosby missed 3 field goals and an extra point in Detroit a couple of years back. Indoors missed that, 3 field goals and an extra point. There's been a couple others. Ian Howfield, remember him for the Oilers, missed 3 extra points the week before he came to Washington. And the Oilers had a chance with just a little chip shot field goal, like a 32-yarder, to win. And Howfield shanked it, and they cut him. He had been kicking for this, like, Texas Wranglers semi-pro team before he was signed. And he gave this tearful press conference, like, I just didn't want to let my team down, and I'm just so sorry, and I'm probably never going to play in the league again. Good idea. He never did play in the league again.
Maybe you were, but you're not now. Not right. I remember one of the Zendejas getting signed and going 2-for-5 for Washington.
Yes, there was Max, there was Luis.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a third. And the one of the Zendejas brothers blew out his knee celebrating. Remember?
That was Gramatica.
Oh, you're right. That was Gramatica. Yeah. Max, Joaquin, and Luis.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Why is there a mugshot of one of the Zendejas brothers?
Well, they got into that spot late where they were a 4th and 5, and when McCarthy decided to abandon the field goal and go on 4th and 5, that told me that he was already fired. I thought he was going to be cut the next day because they're like, that's it. You're not even kicking. Because I looked at my son and I said, why aren't they kicking a field goal here? They're close. It's no different than an extra point. Whoops.
Right. Oh, Tony Zendejas.
Tony
Zendejas found not guilty on charges he raped and sodomized a woman in a hotel room after allegedly drugging her. Damn, I didn't remember that story. Well, shit. Well, good for him that he was, he got off the hook there, but okay. There you go. Enough of that. Okay, let's get to this weekend's game, shall we? We got a 4 banger, and this is always the weekend where we take a pause and go, all right, do you want to gamble and pretend you're smart, or do you want to play the odds as to what historically happens on this weekend? Remind everybody what the historical trend is when we get down to just 4 games.
Well, I know where you're going. It doesn't really apply anymore. It used to apply when you had 4 bye teams.
Got it.
Now that we're down to 2, it hasn't been holding, you know, it doesn't hold true. It used to be when they used to have, you know, the
2 byes in each conference.
4 bye teams. The 4 bye teams would always route.
Okay.
But that hasn't held true the last few years.
You know? All right. By the way, the 7 seed in just 2 years is now 0-6, and they're getting beat by an average of 12 points per game.
That's okay. Not every TV show can be great, but we're still watching.
You need some bridge episodes in the TV show about quarterbacks to get you from one point of the plot to the other. So there you go. Somebody texted me saying, do you think the NFL made a mistake? I go, no, they made money. It's what they made. not a mistake. Yeah. Money is never a mistake. They made money with extra television product. So we'll start chronologically, right? Saturday. Sure. Saturday afternoon, Jacksonville at Kansas City. The Chiefs minus 8.5. Total is 52 and a hook.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs are 14-3, of course, but they have not been a cover team all year. They're 6-11 against the number, and only two of their last eight. Everybody loves taking KC and laying points. It has not worked so far this year.
I'm not doing it myself. I'm going to take the Jaguars plus the 8.5 and ride with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson for one more week. All right.
Okay.
Afternoon game or evening game on Saturday. Giants at Philly. Season series. By the way, Philly is minus 7.5. What did these two teams do in the regular season?
Well, they played early December, and Philly smoked them, what, like 48-20 off the top of my head. Then they played that last week game that was just too nothing that you can judge because Giants used the practice squad quarterback.
Okay.
Philly dominated them and then laid down. But Philly, you know, Philly 14-3. They were only 8-9 versus the spread this year. Giants are the best cover team. We said on the show last week the Giants would cover. They're now 14-4 against the number this year. They are number one in the NFL against the spread. But Philly's rested. So that one I'm looking forward to. It's cliche, but these division matchups in the playoffs, they don't ever seem to be blowouts.
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants plus 7.5 in this one. Total is 48 and a hook. The third game, Sunday, Cincinnati at Buffalo, Bills minus 4.5. Total is 48.5. It's down from 50.5. This one is my five-star divisional round lock of the week. If I'm wrong on this one, you get next week's championship round absolutely free on a recorded 1-800 message. I promise.
Will you throw in the NBA?
I'll throw in the NBA as well because it doesn't matter because I'm going to win this game. Right. I am on Cincinnati plus the 4.5 for the legal limit. The Bills are coasting on the reputation of what they were not just last year but the year before that. This is not the best version of the Bills in the last 3 years. And I'm sorry, Josh Allen's a fun guy to watch. He's a great quarterback. He's making way too many mistakes. And here's the edge I think is going to be in play here. Cincinnati is fucking pissed. They're pissed about the game being interrupted and not getting to play it. They're pissed about the fact if they win this game, they've got to go on the road, we presume, to Kansas City when they could have had home field, depending on if that played out. They're going to play angry. They've got problems on their offensive line with injuries, which I know are a factor. But Joe fucking Burrow, I'm on it, baby. Give me the Bengals plus the 4.5 for the legal limit.
I agree with you that Buffalo is a very overrated team this year. They have not been good against the number. They have Josh Allen is making an absurd amount of mistakes. In fact, I know you'll probably not agree with this, but I say Josh Allen reminds me a lot of a kind of a young Brett Favre. When Brett Favre was young and making phenomenal plays and the Packers became good and then they'd lose to the Cowboys, everyone would say, you know, as soon as he stops making mistakes, he's going to be a great quarterback. And you know what? He never stopped. And I had this argument one time and somebody looked it up to prove me right. Decade later, when Reggie White and the defense came to town, Green Bay won a couple Super Bowls, and he actually threw more picks, you know, late in his career when they were winning Super Bowls than he did when he was a youngster that supposedly had no discipline throwing the ball. He never got better. The team just got better. Allen worries me that he's one of those run around, try to make great plays, and he just keeps making critical mistakes. That's for sure.
Green Bay won one Super Bowl with Favre, but yes.
Well, they went to back-to-back.
They went to two. They lost the second one to the Broncos, right. The game where Terrell Davis had a migraine. They still won the game, so there you go. Okay, and then finally, Sunday night, it's a classic. Niners-Cowboys, like the old heavyweight showdowns in the early to mid 90s, Mr. X, where they were swapping great players left and right in free agency. San Francisco is -3, total is 45 and a hook. And you say it's approaching PTA status in that it opened at 4 and the public likes San Francisco. What is PTA status?
Plane, trains, and automobiles.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You're going the wrong way. If the public loves San Fran and the line opened at 4 and it's going the wrong way, why? What does that mean? Because I like San Francisco as well.
Yeah, I said approaching because I'm not going to call this PTA status because it moved too quickly from 4 to 3.5 and then 3. And I'm not, and it's not a huge public. It's not going the wrong way. It's just facing.
It's facing the wrong way. Okay.
But we'll have to watch that. It is very peculiar. I think in my mind, it's an overreaction to good Dak on Monday night.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good Dak and there's bad Dak.
Right.
And he is as up and down as anybody. I don't know why he doesn't get more criticism for that. He when he is bad, he throws games away. And this is a defense that is pretty tough. I think it's too much of a reaction to Dallas winning on Monday night, and it just snuck down from 4 down to 3, but it'd be interesting to see where that line ends up on Saturday.
All right, I'm on the Niners. I'm on the Niners -3. So I've got three dogs and the Niners in this divisional round. What is the one selection you're going to give right here on the podcast?
I am going to stick with the Jaguars +8.5. I think they'll find a way to play with Kansas City.
Okay. And if something crazy happens like this week, you will say, with a Cheshire Cat grin, had it all the way.
Oh, that sounds like a plan.
All right. Call me MrX.com for more, as always. Thank you for joining us listening. As always, Mr. X, only bet as much as you can afford to win. And winning is nice if you're betting with buddies, but getting paid, even nicer. Keep that in mind.
All right.
All right, man. We'll see you next week. Sure. Thank you. There you go. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.